Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Well, welcome to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Hope you had a wonderful Easter Sunday celebrating our Lord and Savior's resurrection from the grave. Perhaps you got to spend some quality time with your family. Maybe even greeted someone new at your church yesterday. Well, most importantly, hope you spent some time with the Lord, recognizing His great sacrifice for your eternal life, and for all of ours, for that matter. Now, many of you might have heard the name Pastor Jack Hibbs a time or two before. Well, today here on Family Talk, Gary Bauer will be sitting down with Pastor Jack to hear his testimony. And if you haven't heard it before, his story is quite remarkable. He survived incredible odds even before he was born. Well, there's so much to get to on today's broadcast, so let's join our co-host Gary Bauer and Pastor Jack Hibbs right here, right now, on Family Talk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm Gary Bauer, the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm also the host of our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, and I'm honored to serve alongside my good friend, Dr. James Dobson. We're here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. It's an exciting place to be right now. You probably can hear the noise in the background. There are thousands of Christian industry leaders and decision makers gather here, and we are honored to be joined by one of them, Pastor Jack Hibbs, the senior and founding pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In addition, Pastor Jack is the host, founder, and president of the nationally syndicated TV and radio program, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, which reaches millions worldwide with the truth of the Bible and the love of Jesus. Most recently, Pastor Jack has written a new book entitled Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, The Days of Deception, How to Discern Truth from Culture's Lies, which we're going to be talking about today. And Pastor, this interview could not be more timely because we're being buried in a blizzard of lies, and as Christians, we have an obligation to stand up to that. So welcome to the program. I know you're a good, close, personal friend with Dr. James Dobson and his wife, Shirley, and they wanted to be sure that I sent you their best.
Well, Gary, thank you so much. And yes, the Dobsons are precious to us, and we cherish them. We cherish you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, our pleasure. Jack, we want to talk about this book. It's as I said, so important. But there may be two or three people out there that don't actually know about you. You've been making quite a splash just by sticking to the word of the Lord and getting in the public square and doing what you do. But there are people that don't know your background and so forth. So can you tell us a little bit about your personal life and how you came into the world and what molded you in those early years?
Oh, my. I'm going to give you the abbreviated version on that. But I was actually an unwanted pregnancy. I was scheduled to be aborted on December 24th, 1957, survived that, wound up finally being physically born on January 15th, 1958. And but from that time on, just raised up in a U.S. Marine Corps home, San Diego, Coronado Island. And it wasn't, Gary, until I was in high school. I was home between football practice, and my mom had a neighbor lady over, and my mom forgot I was in the other room. I could overhear her talking about that abortion story, that abortion attempt that she tried. And, you know, when you're a teenager, that bounces right off your forehead. It didn't make any sense to me at all until the Jesus Revolution, when hippies were getting saved in Southern California. And in 1977, I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. It was amazing. And I heard about a Heavenly Father that loved you and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And I had racked up my share of sins. So when I heard that, I just couldn't resist God's love. And from that moment on, about a year later, I met my wife, Lisa, who had been a lifelong Baptist at Anaheim First Baptist Church. And But my background was biomedical engineering. That's what I did for 13 years. But we started a home Bible study just for fellowship in the Chino Hills area. And we saw six people on the start date. And then the week after that, there was 30. And then the week after that, 50. And that little group grew into about 150 people. And they wanted a Sunday church. And I had my career. I loved it. I had an incredible job. And so I went to Chuck Smith, founder of Calvary Chapel, and I told him, you need to find a pastor for this work. And he said, okay, I'll do that. And nothing ever happened. And so one day I was in his office and I said, Chuck, you really need to find a pastor. We're doing Sundays. Now I got my job. It's killing me. And he just tapped me on the shoulder and he just said, Lord, bless what's happening at Chino Hills. Walked out of his office, left me there alone. 2 weeks later, I got an ordination certificate. And my goodness, that's been something like 34 years ago. So the church Wow. has many, many thousands of adults on Sunday, expanding. Look, he took somebody who wasn't supposed to live, and I've had the greatest life anybody could ever have because God is extravagant.
Mm. I don't want to get too personal, but when you discovered that there was a plan to abort you, how did that affect the relationship you had with your mother and sort of reconciling yeah. all of that?
My mom and I had a great relationship, as did my sister and I. I had an older brother and an older sister. So the problem, Gary, was my dad didn't want to have a third baby. So he was being repositioned to Alaska. And he told my mom, when I get back to San Diego, I'll be back in a year. I do not want to have a baby in this house. So she was born and raised in Hawaii. If any of your listeners know anything about pidgin English, she's pure Portuguese, but she spoke pidgin. And most people don't know what pidgin sounds like, but it's kind of like Creole of the South. Very hard to understand. It's amazing I can speak any English words, to be honest with you. But my mom filled in and took over. But when my dad came back, he actually didn't much recognize my existence. So I never had a relationship with my dad, Gary. So when I heard that news, it actually had no effect, sad to say. I was emotionally dead to my dad, not by my choosing, but by my dad making that decision. But here's the amazing thing. I shared the gospel with my dad for decades after that, and he just blew it off. He was a strong U.S. Marine, but you know what happened? My dad got cancer, and my dad suffered, and he wound up bowing his knee to Jesus. He got saved a week before he died. My mom got cancer. She suffered a month, accepts Christ, and dies. My sister, Gary, gets cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
And she dies. Oh, no, it's good news. Listen, apparently my evangelistic techniques are so bad that what the Lord did is that he utilized cancer. Suffering brought my family to Christ. And, yeah, the next time I see my dad, we're going to have a great relationship.
That's an extraordinary story. You know, Pastor, there's so much sadness and suffering even in a rich country like the United States and around the world, and somehow people have to hear the message that God can redeem all that suffering in a way where yep. it's impossible to imagine unless you've heard the message. And you've obviously
That's right.
done an incredible job of doing that, beginning with your own family, but now reaching millions of people. So we have both TV and radio programs, correct?
Yeah, correct.
And yes. how did those get started?
Yeah, once again, I had no plan of doing that. Chuck Smith called up one day. He owned his church, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, owned Southern California's largest Christian radio station at that time. And he called up on a Thursday, and he said, I've made some changes to the programming, and I want you on Monday morning. We didn't know what we were doing, how to do that, but we did that. And so at his encouragement, yet again, we went on the radio, and it just began to snowball from one station to numerous stations to now, I think we're close to 800 stations nationwide. But just not too long ago, believe it or not, everybody needs to hear this. Fox News called us up during COVID from the Los Angeles office and said, New York wants to talk to you. So I talked to Fox News New York, and they wanted to put us on during COVID on Saturdays on the Fox Business Channel because there were so many people suffering from depression.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe my ears. And so we are still on the Fox Business Channel on Saturdays. But after that, CBS picked us up on Sundays, Fox Los Angeles, San Diego, Chicago. So again, that's just stuff. God has just brought these things to us over the years, Gary. We've never gone out fishing for stuff. He brings it. And so because he brings it, he always provides for it. And then during COVID, we were being canceled on our sermon series on Sundays by YouTube and Facebook. So we wound up creating an app, just like you have like Netflix or anything like that. It's an app that's provided on your device, and it's called the Real Life Network. It's free for the subscriber, and it's free for those that are broadcasting. So, for example, we have Billy Graham and Dr. David Jeremiah, James Dobson. It's free. It's no one pays a dime. God radically paid for it. It's all set up, and it's in perpetuity, taken care of.
I mean, clearly God's hand of blessing has been on your ministry, Pastor. And, you know, you have a tremendous reputation of promoting the fact that wherever we are in life, whether you're a successful pastor or just a Christian, your kids going to the local public school and you go to a normal job every week, that we have an obligation to speak the truth, particularly in a country like the United States that's facing a lot of its own problems now. And I think you know from talking to Dr. Dobson that we're trying to really push this concept of Christian citizenship, that Christians need to stand in the public square, or we're going to end up losing this great blessing we have of living in America. I've been sentenced to work in Washington, D.C. I'm going to ask God about that when I see him. But you came into Washington recently, and I didn't want to get through our conversation without people hearing this story. Why don't you tell our audience what happened when you were blessed by being invited to give the opening prayer at the opening of a session of the House of Representatives?
Yeah, first of all, to be invited is an incredible honor. I first prayed in Congress in 2013 and had a rare opportunity to do it again. Some people never get a chance to do it at all. And so I wrote out my prayer. Honestly, it was just kind of watered down. According to the rules, you're not supposed to mention Father. You're not supposed to mention Jesus by name. You can pray to God and in your name, but you don't know. And I either was to cancel my flight to go to D.C. and do this, or to just give them the truth. And so, Gary, this was easy to do. Once I picked up a couple of books by David McCullough, Ira Stoll, read about Samuel Adams. I picked up a book, you know this book well, The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall. As I began to look, and I started to look online of some congressional prayers that are posted from 1774 onward, I realized that I'm going to pray a prayer that's in alliance and in allegiance with the Word of God and with our previous clergy that prayed for our great nation. And so about two-thirds of that prayer of mine was one that I pretty much, I didn't plagiarize Pastor Deshay, but I took a lot of what he had said in one portion, and then I took a little bit of Abraham Lincoln in there, and I put this prayer together. And basically, Gary, I opened up by saying, Father, you know, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Well, the first sentence almost started a riot, but I kept going. And it just got better from there, I guess, because I asked the Lord to have mercy upon our country and that he might forgive our national sins and that we might return back to our former glory. And I said a few more things that were just very generic about us as a nation trusting him. And then I ended by saying, and I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified Lord and risen Savior. Well, I stepped off the podium there. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And I was just wrapped up by several congressmen and women. Thank you for just being bold. Thank you for speaking the truth. And I'm thinking, that was just normal. This house should know that. This building should know what I just said was at least in obedience to the stature of this building and what it stands for. And you're looking at, you know, you've been there. You see Moses in front of you and God We Trust behind you. And I felt extremely obedient to the Lord, Gary, and flew home. Then I found out that I was like most wanted man in D.C. 26 Congress members filed a complaint against House Speaker Mike Johnson. How could he let this Christian nationalist, this maniac? I mean, you can read about it. Apparently, I hate all Muslims. I hate all Jews. I was amazing to find out about myself, all these tremendous things. And apparently, it's pretty clear, I guess, I'm not allowed back. So that's okay.
Yeah, so seriously, you've been told that because you violated these rules, yeah, you won't be,
yes,
invited back.
That is correct.
I'm going to be prophetic and say that somewhere down the road, not that far from now, there will be a different balance of power in Washington, and I bet you'll be a regular feature. I certainly hope that's the case. But as you point out, all over this city, etched in the walls of buildings are the words of our founding. And, yep, and it is so clear that that founding was built on the idea that liberty does not come from the people that banned you. The liberty in this country was built on the idea that it comes from the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus. And that is such,
yes,
a threat to the radical secularists today that when somebody like you does what a pastor would be expected to do, really, that suddenly you're a wanted poster on some post office somewhere.
And I encourage every American citizen to read these congressional prayers by these individuals. Mm-hmm. They'll bring you to tears. And listen, they're not warm and fuzzy kind of prayers. I mean, these guys thundered their prayers of righteousness. They interceded for the country. They cried. They wept. If my memory serves me right, which it probably doesn't at my age, but I got to tell you, maybe, Gary, if you could step in and help me out if I get it wrong. But when they were drawing up, I think it was the Second Constitutional Congress, right? The
right.
Convention, I should
convention.
Say.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't making any headway, right, at all. They weren't,
yes,
making any headway. And it was Franklin that said, look, we came through this great battle against the great enemy, and we were not ignorant of Providence's hand upon us. Can a sparrow fall to the ground without his notice? So then how can a nation rise without his aid? So he's the one that said, I think we need to break off and go to prayer. John Adams writes that it was Pastor Deshaying that began to pray the 35th Psalm, and there was this hush of reverence that came over. And the outcome, John Adams wrote to Abigail and said, there was a supernatural manifestation of unity all of a sudden. Well, when you read that stuff, it makes you want to weep. It makes you want to also stand knowing that if God did it then, Gary, why can't God do it again? If he did it then, why not now?
Yeah.
And so I'm looking for him to do that.
Well, you're absolutely right. And look, it really is tragic because there's this incredible history, and our children are not being taught it. So they're being robbed of this heritage they have, of the knowledge of these great men that loved God and loved the new nation they were building. I guess you've been called a Christian nationalist. Dr. Dobson has been called a Christian nationalist.
Yeah.
I've been called that and worse. So what is a Christian?
Yep.
What's somebody that loves Jesus? And what's a nationalist? Well, it's somebody that's really patriotic and loves their country, in this case, America. That's who the founders were. They loved God and they loved the new nation with God's help they were building. And suddenly that's become something, as bad as you can imagine. It's compared to all kinds of things I don't even want to mention on the radio, mm-hmm, because they're so, mm-hmm, disgusting. But unfortunately, mm-hmm, some of our Christian brothers and sisters are running for cover rather than risk being called Christian nationalists. I'm a little worried about the growing movement, to tell Christians they should just stay in their churches and keep out of all these other things.
I totally share that sense with you as well. Then I counter back with this. I read my Bible. We love the heroic moments of the scriptures. And one of those things that they all have in common is that God's people were outnumbered every single time. David was way little than Goliath. Jehoshaphat, there is no way he's going to win this war. And on it goes. God always shows up when the numbers are little and when the people are little, like David. And so, Gary, I'm actually excited about the cleaning of the house. Can I put it that way? I think God is cleaning his house right now. And there are people who are just drifting away, or they're saying, you know, I'm not going to get involved in this because somebody could write a negative post on my Facebook page or something. Well, look, if you're looking for the applause of men, then you should not have social media. That's just a trap. Yeah. I want to live my life so that I please the audience of one. I'm waiting for that day where he evaluates my life, and by his grace, I'll still be standing when he's done. But I trust that I will stand because Christ's blood is sufficient enough. And in the meantime, according to the wisdom of God and the decree of God, I was born in America. I have an American passport. I was born in San Diego. I'm an American. And you know what? When I go to England, I've got friends in Germany and in Switzerland. Guess what? They're very, very proud to be Swiss. And so why not? Don't you think that God, who established the borders of nations, wants a German to be proud that he's a German, or an Englishman to be proud that he's an Englishman? And then for somebody to come along and say, oh, you're a Christian nationalist. I guess if I was in their shoes, I would probably try to label people like that too. But it's actually an admission of a battle they're losing.
That's a great point. I occasionally have told audiences, do you think God was surprised that you were born in America, or you managed to legally come to America? Well, of course he wasn't surprised. He knew where you were going to be born, and he willed that you would be born here. And think of all the other places one could be born, into communist China or into North Korea or one of the many dictatorships around the world, or a place where Christianity is under constant persecution. So we won the lottery. God gave us the greatest blessing imaginable to be born here, and we're ingrates as Christian Americans if we don't do everything we can to protect it and try to preserve it as the one nation under God that it was meant to be. Well, Pastor, my intention was to get into your book on this on today's show, but we got onto so many other subjects. Could I impose on you to come back for a second day to be with us?
Gary, I would be honored. Thank you, brother.
Fantastic.
We hope you're enjoying today's conversation with Gary Bauer and Pastor Jack Hibbs here on Family Talk. And if so, be sure to join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of this powerful conversation. You know, Pastor Jack Hibbs was very bold in his faith when he delivered that powerful prayer to Congress not too long ago. And our own Gary Bauer has been just as courageous in his career in Washington, D.C. as well. If these men have encouraged you to deepen your faith, you will definitely enjoy the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast featuring Gary Bauer. In this weekly broadcast, Gary shares his unique perspective on current public policies through the lens of the U.S. Constitution and his unapologetic biblical worldview. Now, to listen to this podcast, all you have to do is visit our website at drjamesdobson.org and then click on the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast. Then you can choose your favorite podcast platform and start listening right away. It's that easy. You know, there are so many hot-button topics facing Christians today, and the attack on gender is definitely one of them. Here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, we have partnered with Dr. Owen Strand to encourage moms, wives, sisters, and daughters, and to affirm what God's blueprint for women really is. We've created a special PDF called What is a Woman According to God? As it says in Proverbs 31, verses 26 through 27, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. That's just one of the many truths you'll find in this special PDF available at our website. Go to drjamesdobson.org and then click on the icon for What is a Woman According to God? You can download the PDF free from there. The role women have in our world is incredibly important, and this PDF will help stress that point. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love. Be sure to join us again next time for part two of our conversation with Pastor Jack Hibbs, right here on Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hey everyone, Roger Marsh here for Family Talk. Where can you go to receive support and advice for you and your family? Family Talk interacts with millions of people every day with inspiring advice and tips from Dr. James Dobson on what matters to you the most. Whether it's marriage or parenting, you can be sure our Facebook page will keep you updated with how your family can succeed. Join us each day for the latest broadcast, resources, and inspiration. Nowhere else can you hear a thought of the day from Dr. Dobson, as well as a special message before you say goodnight. Now, you can be sure that every post on our page is created with you and your family in mind. So please take the time to visit us and become part of our online community at facebook.com/Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.